Save big on home updates at Menards. Transform your floors and walls with stylish Mohawk porcelain tile. 12 by 24 inch urban forged tiles combine a bold modern look with the timeless beauty of natural stone for a stunning result. Plus, they feature StepSure, an advanced slip-resistant technology providing safety without compromising style. Save big money on Mohawk porcelain tile. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Last time on The Bad Articles, our Knuckles realized that there was some sort of time thing going on at the wake. They munched on some raw potatoes, gaslit an owl man, and butchered the sixth best Billy Joel song. Stick around to find out what happens next, unless you're a coward.
Since the dawn of time, Ireland has played host to unimaginable horrors, ushered in through an ever-weakening veil between our world and the other side. They live among us, shaping our mythology, sowing chaos, scaring the shit out of people. Not all hope is lost. Underfunded, undergunned, and underappreciated, the USNA stand proudly in the way of unchecked otherworldly chaos. This secret network of brave volunteers put their lives and their sanity on the line, all for a better tomorrow. Have you ever been reading a smutty book on your holidays in Lanzarote, and the sexy roguish protagonist starts to visit you in your dreams, giving you kisses and all, but then you get the vibe that this might actually be a Kruger situation? You better call the USNA before you find yourself in the Bad Articles.
We'll leave Dolan in the cosy little sitting room by the fire, having quenched his mighty thirst on that old man's whiskey, and cut to Gideon.
I storm towards the kitchen where that guy went with his big pot of soup, or where he came with his big pot of soup.
You enter through one of those doors that swings both ways into a wide kitchen area which expands out to the left. There's a familiar face, that chef who you saw delivering that cold soup earlier. There are bags of onions everywhere, and you see the chef just chopping away at some while a large pan of water sits on the stove. There are a bunch of small fridges in the kitchen. Out the window, he's catching fish himself with big long rods hanging out the back window, overlooking the cliff edge. And he is still crying his eyes out.
Hey. Hey, buddy. Don't cry. It's going to be okay. It's going to be all right.
It's not going to be okay. It's never going to be the same without him.
Yeah. No, grief is hard. Grief is hard. I lost someone not so long ago myself. This is my second wake today. So I know how hard it is. So maybe I'm just a little bit ahead of you.
No. Look, it's just Eloise here now, and she's too old to do everything herself, and I'm only allowed in the kitchen. I'm not allowed to help out with any of the other stuff.
Hey, listen, it's okay. You're doing great work here. Everyone's saying how much they love the soup. They love it. And I go to, like, take a spoonful.
You dip your spoon in as you... He's barely able to focus on you. His eyes are bloodshot as hell. And you bring that spoon up to your mouth. And this stuff is ice cold as you put it to your lips.
Mmm. That is nutritious.
In this man's sorry state, I'm going to ask for a social role, but you can have a bonus 20% because he is looking for any comfort he can get.
To under 40.
Thank you so much. I really needed that.
You don't need to thank me. This is good soup. What's your name?
My name's Sean.
Sean?
Sean Walsh. I've given my blood, sweat and tears to this place. I just thought they'd acknowledge me, you know. Eloise hasn't said anything to me after he died, and I don't know if I can step up. They never allow me to do anything. I'm not allowed down into the keg room. I'm not allowed into the basements. I don't know how the pressure fobs work for changing the kegs. And that used to bother me, but it doesn't so much now. So, look, it's maybe a little exciting. They might let me down there and see what all the fuss is about. But I have to be the new rat killer because that cat's lazy. And
Sean, take a breath. Listen, all these things can be learnt. You just need some time. You will step up. This might be an impertinent question, but I mean, it sounds like obviously you're very close to Mickey.
I wasn't as close as him and his other mates. They were, but yeah, like I guess he would talk to me when he needed me to do something, like if he needed soup made. But he wouldn't like invite me. They used to go and hang out, like they would hang out socially. They'd be going downstairs. I think they were playing games down there. They wouldn't have invited me.
Sean, that is outrageous that they would exclude you in that way. Can you show me exactly where they did that?
He points towards a door labelled keg room at the back of the room.
One moment, Sean. And I go to like the kitchen door and I push it open. What do I see of my friends?
What do we see? Maddie, where are you?
I went back towards the like storage room.
Oh yes.
This is... You'd think that the general heat of the room would have made this soup warmer, but somehow still utterly Baltic.
That's impressive in its own way.
Oh, it's rancid, but I'm starving for some reason. I ate this morning. I had a huge breakfast.
Yeah, this morning. Yeah, okay. They do air quotes.
So from where I am, you can maybe see.
No, you cannot. You can't see Maddie. Is Dolan still sitting there?
I think he's sort of made himself comfortable with the guy sort of going... I take it he's stuck in a loop, just constantly going back and forth, being surprised I was there.
He has stood up multiple times and sat down with you.
Would I see the notebook or anything like that?
The notepad is sitting on the table in front of you, but he has torn off the page that he had written on.
Okay. Would I have noticed a missing page?
You did see him rip it off as you approached, but he pocketed it, and then he set the notebook down.
Mm. Next time he sort of comes back down, can I just sort of like pretend it's like, and just go, yeah, no, I'm still here, but you were meant to hand me the paper in your pocket. I guess I'm gaslighting the old man. I don't love that, but...
What piece of paper? What are you talking about?
Yeah, you've got a piece of paper in your pocket. It's for me.
It is not.
It is for sure.
I'm sorry. I'm saying a few words at the funeral tomorrow, right? And I'm sketching them down. That's none of your business.
Yeah, you asked me to look over them.
I most certainly did not.
I can assure you did.
Can I please have a social roll with a minus 20 on that?
Okay. Okay, let's see. So I rolled 93 over 0.
Mate, I'm going to need you to fuck off, all right?
Yeah, you've made that very clear.
If Dolan's turning away, like just from the galley doors, I'm like, get over here now.
You hear the familiar panic tones of Gideon Hubble.
All right, but I grabbed the notebook on the way.
Samuel stands from his chair, walks about 5 feet, and then sort of goes back. And as he sits down, he takes the note out of his pocket and begins reading it.
So I'm doing the pencil thing?
As you're walking across, you pull a pencil. One of your little mechanical pencils.
I'm sure I would have a pencil.
Oh, yes. And you begin scribbling across it. You see a drawing. Now, the drawing itself, it's like a circular image. And in the centre, there's a face with like a blade-like tongue holding human hearts in the tongue. It's surrounded by two intertwined fire serpents with human heads emerging from their mouths. And it's all encased inside an 8-pointed star. You also see there's like a grid drawn. Some of the squares have been filled in. There's some letters and some drawings of animals. And there's a couple of other like little gridded spaces with, you know, some letters filled in on them. If anything, it kind of looks like these are sort of sketched notes about something. You're not quite sure. You both beeline towards the kitchen door where you find Gideon with his face pressed up to one of them wee porthole windows.
Hi.
Do you need more money?
No, we're past that. Get in here.
You step in and hear the crying of
Sam
Sean.
Is still following her?
Fuck off, Seb. I pushed the door.
Don't speak to my ex like that.
I'm sorry.
Fuck off, Seb.
I give you all 50 quid.
You'll get it back.
Here's the change. And I throw loose coins at him.
Oh! Don't throw coins at me. That's insane.
I'm getting fucking gobble. I close the door. And I'm like, Maddie, Dolan, this is Sean. Sean has been making the wonderful food today. So he's having a really hard time grieving.
He's just
slowly stirring his soup.
The people at the pool table love it.
Really? That's what I was telling you, Sean. Everybody loves it.
He is fully crying into that pot.
Are you okay? Do you want a hug?
And he leaps at you and gives you the biggest hug you've ever had.
Oh, it's okay. Hey, it's... Death is weird and grief is hard, but we're...
I like that. Death is weird and grief is hard.
That's kind of what I said. Hey, don't worry about it. It's, yeah, it's a tough time. It's a tough day for everyone. Your soup is probably grit.
Did you not try it?
I haven't had the chance.
You'll try some now, though, won't you?
I'll try some now.
Can I please have an awareness roll from everyone who's standing in the kitchen?
55 over 20.
89 over 60.
75 over 20.
There's a fishing rod going out the window. If the fishing rod can go out the window, maybe we can too.
You might be onto something there.
The window itself is a small porthole window. So it's maybe about a foot wide. And there is a sheer cliff face on the outside of this window.
Okay. Well, that's one option. If we really can't get out of here, we can always kill ourselves.
Can I try throwing a spoon out the window?
You pick up one of those spoons and you throw it out the window and it sails out and falls down. You don't hear a splash. It's very far down.
Okay, before we go in, I also got these notes. I don't know if any of you can make heads or tails of these. Looks a wee bit puzzly. We probably, you know what? We could have used your ex, actually.
Oh, I can get Seb.
Yeah, because there was a grid with like animals and...
There was indeed.
That feels like something for...
It's the kind of thing he'd designed, to be honest.
Oh, perfect.
Seb!
Yes?
Need help picking up that money, buddy? And I join him on the floor picking up change.
I'm all covered in cold soup now, thank you very much.
It's not been easy for you. Eh?
No.
Gideon. Yeah. Don't patronize Seb.
I'm not. Is it the tone of my voice?
It's the tone. And also, apologize for the things that you did. And also, taking £50 from him. That's a lot of money.
I go, yeah, it was a lot of money. But thank you for helping me to get to know the people in this bar better.
And he will pay you back.
You're welcome, Marty.
Thank you.
All this happens as you're standing next to the bar. Eloise has actually got a wee wet towel there for old prick to wipe himself down.
You're all covered in Sean's soup there, so you are. It's not normally this cold, but it's been going down well enough. I barely have an appetite myself.
Don, same episode of Countdown still playing on the TV. You notice it's about midday now when you look out the window again.
Oh, condiment.
Well, thank you, I guess, for that... the help.
Yeah, I'm sorry about them. You know, I don't go back far with these people, but I know they're good people, and I know they're suspicious of people that I know. And I'm sorry to everyone involved. But I know you're all good people somewhere inside yourselves.
Listen, we're not awake, guys. We need to show some decorum, some respect.
We used all our decorum this morning. That's not true. I was trying to make light.
You did say you lost someone else.
Yeah. And no, it wasn't another boyfriend.
I wasn't going to say it was.
Mm.
I was.
No, you're right.
It was?
No, not that. You're right about the decorum thing. We're just grieving, you know?
We're all grieving, you know?
And yeah. We're new parents.
Yeah, we're new parents as well.
Oh, you... Maddie.
Of a cow and a robot. But it's a lot of responsibility, Seb.
We don't even know how they're going to interact.
Thank you, Sebastian. You seem like a sensible fella. Now, I believe you're puzzleologist or...
Cruciverbalist, yeah.
Yes, I apologize. I couldn't think of the word.
That's all right.
I've got a puzzle here, and I think it might be of interest to you. Do you have any insight?
You've created a puzzle.
I found a puzzle and I'm trying to solve it.
Those are the best kind.
Dolan produces the paper with the haphazard scribbles that he made as he walked across the floor.
Okay, so you've got a snake. Looks like the booth. You got a fish. Looks like that booth. Huh. And you just found this. Have you seen these? It's like the designs in the bar.
I hadn't made the connection, to be quite honest.
Prick points to the three booths around the bar. As you see, they are all decorated differently. There appears to be a variety of animals depicted upon each of them.
All right.
On the northern booth, you see a snake with SR inscribed above it. In the southern one, a fish with MM. And on the western booth, you see a bird with SL.
Any insights?
I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It seems like some of the animals in this puzzle are depicted in the bar, but if people drink here, maybe they've tried to just come up with something fun, a little crossword or a little maze or something.
Yeah. Was this you?
No, it wasn't me. I would remember my own work, okay, Maddie, as well, you know. Also, I do believe that my work would be slightly less derivative than an animal that I can see in front of me on something like that.
Yeah, but also I'd like to think that you're a bit less derivative than M.M. Maddie Murphy.
Yeah, of course. I wouldn't... If I were to hide your name in a puzzle, I would make it much more interesting, a journey.
He has most certainly hidden your name in a puzzle in the past.
Like I said, it wasn't me, but hey, you know what? Best of luck. I'll just sit down and enjoy my freezing cold soup.
Thanks, Ab.
Mickey Mackerel.
Yep.
Yes, and then we've got...
Samuel Ryans.
Yeah.
And Skinny something.
Odd. Lynch.
Lynch.
The bird, the snake, and the fish. Eloise, do you have an office around here?
Of course I do. We have one just behind the bar here, yeah.
Oh, would you happen to have a printer?
A printer?
Hmm?
Yes.
Well,
a printer.
Believe it or not, we do. Now, myself and Mickey, God rest
Erica?
His soul, and we didn't use the tech exactly,
PhD?
But I don't know. It sat there since it was Skinny's. He
Casio? They tried for a bit.
Casio.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Maddie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Eloise. Eloise, would you like a hug?
Eloise,
all right, sorry.
My sweet, sweet dead mackerel. I don't know what the make is, but yes, do you have need of it?
I mean, I'll give it a service while I'm here.
Would that be helpful,
least I could
Eloise?
Do.
Would a printer servicing help you during the terrible time?
I suppose it would. It could be useful. I don't know how to use it, but maybe Sean. Maybe Sean would know. We'll have to change a few things around here, and perhaps having a working printer wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. The door is unlocked. We've nothing in there anyway, apart from, you know, a safe. An old desk.
I wouldn't take anything from you. I don't know about these guys, but I can speak on myself. I wouldn't take anything from you, Eloise.
It seems suspect that you choose to tell me that, but you've a trusting face.
We've got some options. Do you want to go to the office? Get the key to the keg room, go to the keg room?
I'll never say no to having a look at a printer. Oh, the printer is just some misdirection. Yeah, we can go, it's fine.
You can look at a printer if you want. I mean, we're not going to stop you.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I was gonna.
The three of us, united, enter the office.
Holding hands.
Holding hands.
I'm not.
As Eloise
hands.
Gestures towards the door, two of you walk hand in hand, with Dolan following you, into this small, messy back office. Typical of what you'd expect of a busy pub. There are old versions of menus from eras gone by, and piles of financial books, and a scattering of open mail.
Is there a phone?
There is a phone. It's sitting on the desk.
Can I try calling the pub? What's it called? White's Tavern?
Yes. You pick up the phone. You dial the number. Beep, 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 beep.
Brrr.
this.
All right. I'm starting to see what's going on here.
I'm going to look behind me. I'm going to close the door a little bit. I'm going to go on the old computer. On the old computer, just see if there's anything there.
Can I ask for one thing? Is there a fax machine?
There's not a fax machine. No, there is not. There's a printer and there's...
Useless.
There is a computer connected to said printer. Now, when you open it up, it's running, like MS-DOS at this stage. There's like a word processing thing on it. Doesn't look like it's seen much use. There's dust caked all over that keyboard. Strewn around next to it, you see like there's a bunch of letters and stuff. There's some graphs as well that are headed Crean and Prick. Looks like they're requests from their real estate agency asking to get surveillance for the area underneath the pub.
Any keys?
There's a key sitting there on the desk.
I pick it up.
You pick up the key. As you sit down by the computer as well, your foot hits against a wee box underneath. And you peer under. There's a box of flares under there.
Well, hot damn. Can we all take one?
You can indeed.
All right.
Can I service the printer?
You can indeed.
Can I see the last thing that was printed on it? Just out of nosiness.
You type in a little access code and you're able to get it to spit out the last thing in its very minimal amount of 1993 onboard memory. And it spits out a wee sheet. And it does indeed look like it's something sent from Crean and Prick's real estate agency, but it's about a tunnel network in the foundations. Now, Dolan, there's a whole bunch of technical and legal mumbo-jumbo mixed in through all of this. But you can see that there is there's also gas lines seemingly running down into this basement. And it looks like their property rights extend far below this bar. They go deep underground.
So it seems like there's gas lines running all throughout and that the property goes way down, which I suppose makes sense with it being on a cliff's edge, but...
Shall we go take a look? Jangle, jangle. We leave the office, hand in hand. We go into the kitchen. I give Sean a hug, because I presume he's still crying. It's okay, buddy. It's all right.
He dives into your arms.
Oh, my God.
I help.
Dolan, get in on this.
No.
Come on,
dude. Come on, man.
Show a bit of warmth.
No, I think I'm good. And I go towards the window to throw a flare out of it.
Dolan lights a flare and chucks it out the window. It sails out and falls down into the darkness.
Sean?
Yeah?
How you doing, buddy?
Not great.
Okay.
Hey, it's all right. It will be all right.
Yeah.
I was like you a few days ago, and now I'm not as bad, you know? It gets easier, because you have people to share it with.
Yeah. No one seems to want to talk to me about it. Those lads who just came through, they didn't even stop to look at me. They just walked on right through. After all the work I did for him as well.
Just now?
A few minutes. Maybe 20 minutes. Maybe 40 minutes.
Hey, it's okay. But today, someone... Who was it? Do you need me to beat them up? Because I will.
Oh, no, it's okay.
No, I'll do that.
It was Samuel. I haven't seen him here in years. And he had two big lads following him. And they just walked right through the door. But they locked it behind them and I don't have the key to the cake room.
We've got the key, buddy. We got the key. We were thinking you can have a look at the pressure fobs.
All right.
With that, you slip the key into the door and turn the lock, and the door swings open. The three of you, and of course, Prick, dander through the door.
Oh my God, he's here.
Sean begins to follow before spinning on his heels, turning back to his soup and beginning to stir.
Whoa.
Can I take the key out of the lock?
Yes, you can.
Does it have a lock on the other side?
It does.
Good. Hey, Seb.
Yeah. What are you doing in the keg room?
What are you doing down here?
I just came back to see if there was more soup. Despite it being freezing cold and rancid,
hey,
I am still starving.
Shut up.
What?
The chef's right there.
He's a soft soul. Say it's nice.
He hasn't even turned the hobs on. No wonder it's freezing.
Seb, you don't have any problem with thresholds, do you?
With what?
Thresholds. Doorways?
I don't believe so, no.
Well then, move on. Anyway, down we go.
You enter a small, cold room, which houses the kegs of beer. There's a wee clipboard hanging on the wall. You can see the gas lines that are run from the hob. Dolan, you notice this. They're also running along the walls of the big fridge room and then down into the floor.
Well, Dolan?
Yes?
That bad for the gas or something?
To be honest, I'd say, Dolan, if you're tracing your eyes around that, you see, like, there's one of the kegs. There's scrapes, like a bunch of scrapes by one of them, as if it's been slid back and forth a bunch of times. If you're sort of trying to gauge where those gas lines are going.
Well, I'd go investigate that. I think I'd just go over there and start looking at them.
If you walk over there, you can shimmy that keg back. And sure enough, there's a wee trapdoor underneath that. And as you shimmy it back, you also hear a little as you've disturbed the cat who's pawing away behind one of the other kegs.
Can I do another social check?
Yes.
70 over 20.
It hisses and hides and gets its whole body behind one of the kegs.
We both want to try again. Yeah. After you.
Hi, gorgeous. Hello. 3 under 80.
That cat, little baby herself, walks over and starts slinking between your legs.
57.
It turns and hisses at Gideon. Now, all four of yous are standing around this trapdoor with a little cat. What do yous do? What do yous do?
Well, I take it you two still have flares?
You got flares?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Can I have a flare?
Yeah, I have one.
Can you have a flare?
No, he can't have a flare.
No, I only have two flares. We only have two flares.
I suppose I'm going to open the door, and if it's dark, we're going to drop a flare down.
Okay.
Okay, I open the trap door.
With the door open, you see what almost looks like a ladder, but it's essentially an incredibly steep set of stairs leading down from the keg room.
Seb!
Yeah?
Seb, do you want to go on ahead?
Do you want me to go down there first?
Yeah.
With pleasure. I've been trying to get down here for 6 months.
Oh, fuck. Oh, well.
All this cold soup. Ah.
I hold the bowl and just chuck it in the corner.
It clatters.
The cat loves it.
Guys, you really need to get down here.
Why? What's down there?
It's like some sort of cave-like opening here.
Like a cave?
Sort of, yeah. Seems natural. This must be why they didn't let us down here. For the surveillance. Well, Dolan, you would love this.
Dolan thinks he would love it and actually does go down.
Yeah.
I feel more comfortable now. I'll go down.
I'm following behind.
Okay, cool.
Only the cat.
With everyone now downstairs, you see this big cave-like opening that Prickett mentioned, and there's a large wooden door set into the stone, and it is pretty old. All around the door is a bunch of Aztec-inspired art. The door itself is framed by images depicting 8 burning torches, 4 on either side, and a large turquoise figure above the door, peering down eerily. You also see a sign which says, "No access granted. Trespassers will be prosecuted."
Well, I'm having a peek. Don't know about the rest of you.
After you.
Dolan, you also see that those gas lines, they run down and are fixed to the wall, and then they run through to the other side of that big wooden door.
After you, Seb.
If you insist.
As Brick pushes this heavy wooden door, you all feel an immediate chill as the air kind of rushes into the room. A genuinely Baltic little breeze is whipped up and whistles past your head. Now, you may all flick on your trusty OSNA flashlights, which you were issued earlier. You realise that you've entered what appears to be some sort of natural tunnel beneath the bar. Now, it's thin enough for two people to sort of walk shoulder to shoulder. It's not mad snug or anything. And despite the age of the passageway, the walls look like they've been heavily graffitied, so it's all over the walls. Amongst the art, you can clearly see that the gas lines from the other side of the door are running along the wall. So, at first glance, they sort of look like primitive cave paintings, but further you get as you're walking along, the clearer it becomes to you, Maddie, that these paintings contain inks and colours that could only have been invented in the last century. You know, it's got the on cyan that you get in printers. In fact, for the really arty amongst us, the paintings seem to contain the same colour palette as the bar upstairs. Blues and greens, and all hues in between. And you see that there's an ocean depicted, and a sky, surrounding you like you're walking down one of them scary aquarium tunnels. with all the fish and sharks around you. No thank you, not for me.
Wow. So somebody must have painted this. Why wouldn't they let us see this? They kept blocking our requests. Dolan, have you ever seen anything like this?
No, I haven't. I don't know what's going on here.
Surely, though, Seb, if it's privately owned, they don't need to show everything to you if you don't have an entitlement to see it?
No, probably not, but, you know, we need to inspect the foundations before any clients could make offers on the place.
It's on a cliff's edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty risky foundations there, I think you'd agree, Dolan.
Yes.
Yeah, so, of course, we put in a few attempts to check it out. But it's because we all know that there's gold here. They found gold here. Am I the only sane person in these tunnels that thinks there might be something else going on here?
Well, there's obviously something else going on here, but I don't think this is purely financial.
Money is not our motivator.
Well, fair enough. You can come and look at the art, and if we find any cool gold coins, I'll keep them.
All right.
As this simmering argument continues, you walk down this long, dark, natural corridor, and your flashlight's glancing across all this artwork, and you start to see that this appears to be some sort of beginning of a wee story. So it looks almost like a continuous mural. You see a fish, a bird, and a snake, and a man, all sailing aboard a small boat. There's dark clouds appearing overhead, bringing with them a violent storm. The four companions are thrown from their vessel and seek shelter inside a nearby cove. As you press further down the corridor, you see repeating depictions of these companions. They're shown in the entrance of the cove, over and over again, as suns and moons rise and set around them. Ahead, you see another wooden door. The wall it sits upon is painted like a cliff face, and at the very top, you see a familiar little building. It's the Sea Signor. Above it, dark clouds rain gold coins, which spill around the door and pile up along the bottom of the walls. There's even some painted on the floor. It's like a big win on the penny folds. That's one of them amusement machines that pushes a rake of coins over the edge for any Americans in the room.
There was a storm brewing whenever we came in here. It's like in the picture.
A storm?
Yeah.
Screw that. Look at the coins. There's gold. I told you.
Fish, bird, snake. Who's the man?
Yeah, we had... That's a good question. We're one person short there.
Mickey Mackerel, Salmon Ryans, Skinny Lynch. But who's the guy?
Who cares? Let's go in. Let's see. Unless you're scared.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, this is obviously... There's something odd going on here, Seb.
Seb,
odd.
You're blinded by greed. Consider your well-being.
It's whoa there, greed. Cowboy.
It's an interest.
It's a financial interest.
Oh, come on.
You should have stayed in the puzzle game, man.
Right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't be here, would you, without the help of my puzzly mind?
We would have probably checked the keg room at some point.
Well, whatever.
Seb pushes the door open, and through this door, you're struck with a strange sight altogether. The floor of this room is gridded, like a big chessboard. But this is no regulation human-sized chessboard. No, this one has alternating pictures and letters on all the squares. There's a frog, a snake, a dog, a fish, a bunch more to boot. On the far side of the room, there's a steel door with three large mechanical locks on it, the mechanisms of which seem to extend from the door and into the surrounding stone of the cave wall.
Whoa. What is this? Let's give it a go. I'll stand on the...
No, Seb.
I'll try the koala.
All right.
Oh, God.
Rick steps forward and stands on the koala. You hear a... and a dart flies into his neck.
What the fuck? What the fuck?
His eyes are like pinpricks at this point.
Jesus fucking Christ! It's like cheap speed!
Can I use the power of medicine to save Seb?
You can use the power of medicine to find out what's happening.
Oh, God. 46 under 80.
That boy looks like he's on some sort of amphetamine or speed. He is peaking.
Christ alive! That is insane! Do not stand on the koala.
Except we were at no risk of that.
Maybe the three of you should try a different combination.
All right. Well, anyone feel brave to step on an M?
No.
I'm going to stand on M.
I'll stand on the other M. No, Dolan, get on a fish.
All right.
As Dolan steps on the fish, you hear a loud thump as one of the lock mechanisms disengages from the door.
Great.
All right. Bird and SL?
Bird and SL. I'm going for S.
I'm just looking at the S and yeah.
There's only one S, I think.
I'll go to the other L.
I hop off and run around and go to the bird.
A very rewarding clunk noise happens as the second lock disengages.
I will stand completely still.
You're going for snake, I'll go for R.
That makes sense.
We can all hold hands.
Dolan holds hands.
Everyone holds hands as they hear the final lock disengage.
Yay!
Prick Seb, you okay?
Stands watching.
I'm coming up like a fucking bull, man. This is insane.
Well, I mean, if you want to go on ahead, we won't stop you.
Prick charges to the door and opens it. Exiting, you find yourself in a familiar tunnel with more paintings surrounding you. You recognize the four companions, the fish, the bird, the snake, and the man, though this time you see them depicted in a large, dark cave. The door behind you swings closed, and you hear the three locks re-engage. You notice a system of pulleys and ropes suspended from the ceiling that are hooking onto that door. It sort of reminds you of Home Alone a wee bit. They lead from that door further down the corridor and into the darkness. As you descend, so too do the artistic representations on the wall, diving deeper until eventually coming upon an enormous ship painting docked in a large lagoon within the cove. On the side of the ship, you recognise the name the Doloroso from upstairs. Directly in front of you, however, lies another door, this time utterly clattered in black paint and being towered over by an enormous dark figure. Not unlike the turquoise one from the entrance to the tunnel network. You see the gas lines continuing to run along these walls and through to the other side of this door. Raked out on speed, Prick opens that door. And if you thought the last room you were in was weird, then this you should probably adjust your expectations. Once again, you see a locked door at the far side of this room, but beside the door, set into the wall, is a little narrow vertical glass panel that you can see into, and behind which is a wee ping pong ball sitting at the bottom of this little like chimney looking thing. And at the bottom of this little ball window, jutting out of the wall at a 45 degree angle, you see what appears to be a pretty dinged up tin whistle. It's like the thing has sort of been grafted into the stonework. And above the door, you see some crude pictograms depicting what looks like finger placements for the on whistle, as well as the words bubble, oink, and blank painted in big letters.
Fuck. Squeak.
Squeak.
So these pictograms you see, it's like a vertical column of little circles. Some of them are filled in, some of them aren't, and above each of them is a series of letters. D through C in a wee circle. So D, E, F, G, A, B, and C.
Wow. This is certainly different. Bubble oinking. Oh, they serve that upstairs, don't they? Oh.
It's a word that we can make from this. But there's blanks.
No, I've got it. It's cabbage.
Oh,
well done.
Of course, that's what squeak is.
Don't play it. Play cabbage.
Sure.
You got this?
Oh, no.
You're doing well.
A cabbage has fired at you.
As Maddie blows the notes, the little ball starts moving up and down this tube. And as it hits each point, you hear little of a mechanism disengaging, and the lock appears to be disengaged.
Yay.
That was incredible, Maddie. I didn't know you had it in you.
Neither did I.
Well done. Another door.
This little speed demon practically kicks the thing open at this point.
Where's the damn gold?
Guys, what's our end goal here, by the way?
I'm just happy we can go through the doors now. Deeper.
Yeah. Deeper and alive.
I guess we were trapped. We're not going to be any less trapped.
Do we still have the cat?
The cat is indeed following you. It's taking a wee liking to you. It's walking between your wee legs. With this door open, you find yourself in the continuation of the tunnel yet again. And there's a bunch more paintings surrounding you. Again, you see these four companions, the fish, the bird, the snake and the man. And once again, the door swings closed behind you. This time, you see them aboard this ship, having discovered some warm blankets and old torches and rags. They're bathed in warm firelight, illuminating the absolute sea of gold that surrounds them. They're halfway swimming around in it like Scrooge McDuck. But in the darkness, outside the reach of their torchlight, they're being watched by a shadowy figure with big owl red eyes. Suns and moons pass overhead throughout this mural. The companions begin to grow gaunt and weak. The shadow figure watches them patiently, and in its hand is a stone disc. You recognize it as somewhat similar to the thing you found on the note from Samuel Ryan's notebook.
The sunstone.
It is indeed this eight-pointed star. In the center, a big face with a blade-like tongue. Give me an art roll.
Oh no, my hubris. 95 over 60. Oh.
Well, Doloroso certainly seems Spanish, but you don't know what it means. So the last thing you saw was that shadowy figure with a stone disc in its hand, with that image that you recognized from the paper. Now, on this mural, you see that creature having bided its time. It sets upon the man when he steps outside the light of the torches, and he devours what meager life force remained within that fell. The remaining companions, terrified for their lives, fend off the beast with their torches and seal it inside the captain's chambers. They fill their pockets with gold and climb the mast to escape. Once again, you see before you a door, and painted upon this cold stone around it, you see three men, one with the head of a fish, one with the head of a bird, and one with the head of a snake. They're doing that see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil thing that monkeys do. They're being watched over by that familiar turquoise figure. Seb can't help himself. He pushes the door open.
Absolutely mad for these doors.
I was initially feeling bad at we're making him scout, but I think we can't stop him with this. Yeah, I mean,
he is absolutely buzzing on whatever is in his neck.
If he wants to be canary, who are we to stop him?
Guys, look and see what's in here. It's crazy.
As you look through the door, there is a river of shite flowing through the middle of it. It looks like the room is cut down the middle by a big sewage line, like the main sewage line for the whole town. It's just sitting there like a big river, fully open to the world. It's absolutely shocking smelling. On the wall, on the side of the room that you're on, there's a big painting of St. Jerome with tears in his eyes, looking saintly as anything. Now, you know it's St. Jerome, because whoever painted this decided to give him a wee name badge, and it says St. Jerome on his chest. Painted next to old Jerome is a familiar sight to anyone who's watched a little bit of daytime TV. You see two rows of white capital letters on little blue squares, spelling out the words, "We Bar, Loo Odors." There's a knackered owl exercise bike next to you on this side of that stinky flow. On the far side of the river amok, you see a door with a BBC micro desktop computer sitting beside it, big clicky-clacky keys and all. And there's a wire coming out of the back of it that looks like it's connected to the door, and another wire that's flowing back through that river of shite and is hooked up to that wee exercise bike on your side of the room. On the ground, by the far door, is a wooden plank. It's about 3 metres long and it's a bit shitey at one end.
What the hell is going on in here? It absolutely reeks!
I mean, it's an anagram, right?
Yeah.
That would be my guess as well.
And one of us goes on the bike to... Well, let's see. And I hop on the exercise bike.
Blum, blum, blum. The PC, after about 20 seconds, begins to start its boot-up procedure.
I stop cycling.
The screen begins to sort of, like, it maintains for another, like, 15, 20 seconds, and then sort of begins to fade.
Okay.
Obviously, one of us needs to get across this river of shite to the computer.
Yeah, Saeb, you do.
Oh, come on, guys.
What?
I might be hopped up on cheap speed that got fed to me through a fucking dart, but I'm not an idiot.
No, but the things that you do for love.
Buddy.
One of them's to ship the second line to Dolorado.
The first word is beware, I think.
Beware Dolorado. Doloroso.
Doloroso.
Doloroso, there we go.
Beware,
beware
Doloroso.
Doloroso. All right, I guess I'll type that in when I go over. All right.
Seb takes a few steps back and gives it his roided up best shot. He sprints and he leaps and he makes it a fair distance. And then he belly flops straight into it and loses his footing and is swept away.
Seb, oh Jesus.
Did I just kill him out? Did I just kill him out? Join the club. You'll have your time as well.
All right, snakes and ladders.
How large is the gap again?
It's a bit smaller than 3 meters.
Is he dead?
You don't know, he's gone. That fella's out of sight.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna kill the man. I'm not fully with it right now.
Look, it's a difficult situation. We don't know what happened. He's been swept away. He could be fine. He could be dead. We don't know.
I didn't realize it was like a rapid. I thought it was a placid river of shite, but no.
No, it's flowing.
What if we use the cable from the bike to like kind of get over safely?
There is indeed an electrical cable running from that bike across. I'm sure you could hold it and wade through.
All right. Could you hold the exercise bike while I wade through shit?
Oh, thanks, Gideon.
Yeah, sure. Are you sure you want to do this?
Listen, he said snakes and ladders, and I realized I still have a lot more to do to redeem myself.
Mm-hmm.
I gingerly lower myself into the cold, stinking shit. For the good of my friends.
You do feel it slapping about your ankles, but you know, you're holding onto that cable and you're able to feed it hand over hand and wade your way across. It's only up like a wee bit above your knees.
But the cable's covered in shite, yes?
The cable is indeed covered in shite.
Ah, yes. That's definitely shite. So I get to the other side and I go, hop!
You climb out and you make your way over to that wee computer. Now it's powered down at this stage.
Dolan!
Yeah?
Get on those pedals!
All right, and I'm pedaling away.
As you pedal, Dolan, the computer springs to life. And on the screen, you see what looks like a bunch of squares waiting for a wee password to be entered. There's a little saucy pixelated version of both Richard and Carol from Countdown in either corner.
I type in the words, beware Doloroso.
And the door in front of you unlocks.
So I put the plank across.
You're able to place the plank across the river. The cat immediately bolts across the plank and
Jesus
starts
Christ.
Pawing at the door.
All right, okay. Does someone want to take the cat? I don't trust this cat.
Yeah, I'll take the cat.
Take the cat.
As you open the door, you find yourselves on a high, stony platform within a large cave. The platform disappears off to your right and left, lost in the darkness. The door, once again, shuts closed behind you. And as you step towards the edge, your eyes can't believe what you see before you. The crow's nest of a ship sitting atop a large mast which reaches almost the entire way up to the ceiling of this cave. Now, it isn't quite within reach, but you can see an old piece of rope that was tied to a rock next to you, which has since been cut. The rest of it dangles loosely from the crow's nest into the void of darkness below.
Next time in the Bad Articles, join our Knuckles for the exciting conclusion as they find out what those owl lads were keeping down here. I wonder if it's a ship.
The Bad Articles is created by J.R. McCormick and Aidan Kelly. It is produced at Felburn Studios by the wonderful Clark Phillips, with additional sounds and voices from Conleth McVeigh. Starring Laura Conlon, Patrick Meyer, and Niall McKenna.